All right, very good. Luke chapter number 12, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says there, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. The title of the message this morning is Beware of Leaven. Beware of Leaven. That's what Jesus said there. And in this passage of Scripture, of course, you remember that the previous chapter was about Jesus and how he had gone to the house of a Pharisee, and the Pharisee was amazed that Jesus did not wash before dinner. And Jesus used that as an illustration to remind that Pharisee and those who were there that it's not about the outside of a person that's important, it's the inside that's important. And that it's good to do the outside things and to make sure that everyone knows that you're living a clean and moral life, but more important than that is the inside. If we'll take care of the outside will naturally follow. And the end of chapter 11 is basically that the Pharisees and the scribes were really angry at Jesus, and they began to vehemently ask him questions, trying to get him to trip up in an answer so that they could have an aha moment with him and say, see, we don't have to listen to him. Look at the mistake that he made. Well, the Bible tells us in verse 1 that an innumerable multitude of people were around him. There were a lot of people that had gathered around in that ruckus and were listening, and Jesus turned to them, actually to his disciples, and everyone else could hear, and he said, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, the word leaven is basically just another word for yeast. That's a kind of a generalization, but I'm going to use it anyway. It's basically yeast, anything that would cause bread to rise. And Jesus said, beware of the leaven of those Pharisees, those religious zealots. Not that it's wrong to be zealous, but in this case, they were all about the external and not the internal. Jesus said, beware of their leaven, and that leaven is hypocrisy. And I want to share with you this morning three main points. The first one would be this, that what was Jesus' warning? We'll look at that. Then secondly, we'll look at why did Jesus use leaven as an illustration of hypocrisy. And then we'll thirdly look at this third question, what was the reason to beware? All right, so a real simple breakdown of these three verses. Let's pray first and then we'll start. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Now, Lord, I pray that even from our midst, you would raise up people, servants of yours, to reach our country. And Lord, would you give us a burden for the lost around us? Lord, start with me as the pastor. Again, Lord, if anybody here needs a burden for the lost and lacks it, it's the man standing behind this pulpit. Lord, I pray then that you would work through all of us as church members, that you would not leave one of us behind, that all of us would be burdened to use the short amount of time that we have left to reach the lost, to let go of our excuses and our comfort zone and step out and reach the lost. Lord, would you help us with that, I pray. But Lord, also, we need your help in this message. Lord, we know that you've included Luke 12, 1 through 3 in the Scripture for a reason. It's here because we need to know that we are to beware of this leaven of hypocrisy. Lord, we don't have Pharisees in our day, at least by name, not in our culture. But Lord, we certainly do have the same spirit. And Lord, many times it afflicts us and affects us. Would you help us to learn from your word? Holy Spirit, guide me to say what needs to be said, what ought to be said, and the way that it should be said, that Jesus Christ might be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. So what was Jesus' warning? Well, let's get right into it. You already know the answer, and that was to beware. He begins in verse number 1 toward the end of the verse where he says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, to beware is what Jesus was warning them to do, and Let me give you an obvious observation here, and that is that to beware indicates a danger. If I told you to beware of something, you would automatically say, okay, he must assume that there's some kind of a dangerous situation around, and you would be right. But it also indicates that you and I should have our mind conscious of something. In other words, our attention, our focus ought to be on that item of danger, okay? We ought to be wary of it. You're just using a couple illustrations. One would be this. I'm assuming you're the same way that I am, where you are very cautious around firearms. If not, please start today, okay? I am a believer in having firearms. I think we ought to have them, and I'm glad that I do. But I also understand something, that because I have firearms, I need to be very careful with children in the home. One of the things that my dad did with me, I've done with my children, and I try to do it often, is get the firearm out, make sure that it's unloaded, make sure that it's in a safe position, all of that. And yet I instinctively tell my kids, look at this thing right here. You understand you need to be afraid of this. Now, it's a good item. It's not a bad item. I'm glad we have it. Dad bought it on purpose. Dad wants to have it. Dad keeps it in a safe place, et cetera, et cetera. But I want you to know, if you ever see one of these laying out, it's dangerous. And I tell them stories about little kids who play with firearms and accidentally shoot their siblings. Happens all the time, doesn't it? And I remind them, can you imagine what that would be like to accidentally shoot your little sister? Can you imagine what that'd be like to watch them lay there bleeding on the floor? Can you imagine what that would be like to live with that for the rest of your life? Now, why do I do that? Because I love to traumatize my kids. No, because I don't want my kids to be traumatized. Because I want them to understand, listen, it's not fun and games when a firearm is out. Even if it's unloaded, it's not fun and games. This is something that will kill. So it's not that we get rid of it, but we are to beware of it. We ought to have a healthy respect, a fear of that item. There's not a way to get rid of it, at least not in the Weiss household. We're going to have those firearms there. But there is a way to beware of those firearms. Using another example, my family and I moved back to Wisconsin from Arizona. And one of the things about the area of Arizona where we were in is there were lots and lots of rattlesnakes. Ooh, fun. And I would do the same thing with my children regarding rattlesnakes. I would let them know, listen, when you walk out of the house, you don't get to act like the rest of those, you know, sissy kids in Wisconsin where they just walk out and never think about anything. You have to walk out of your house and recognize that around the next corner could be a rattlesnake that's curled up in the sun. And we had our doorway was kind of in between the garage and then our kitchen kind of jutted out from the house. So when you went into toward the front doorway, you had to kind of go into that little nook in between the garage and the kitchen. So, and then the entryway was right there. And that was a place where rodents would hang out or whatever and run through. And so snakes would like to sit there. And I would always warn my kids, listen, you don't just walk around a corner and not pay attention. You've got to watch. You must beware. In our garage. By the way, everything in Arizona either bites or pokes you. Everything. In our garage, it was, for whatever reason, every garage I ever was a part of in Arizona was a haven for black widow spiders, big black widows. Yeah, I know, it was great. Honestly, we could go into our garage at any time and find a black widow like that. And I would tell my kids, when you go into the garage and you pick up a rake or whatever, don't just pick it up. Look. Before you reach for something, just look. You don't have to be afraid of those spiders, but you do need to be aware of them because they will bite you and you could get sick. We go on and on with illustrations. You understand what it means to beware. It's not that you do everything you can to get rid of that. Listen, you and I will never get rid of hypocrisy. It is part of, not this side of heaven anyway, it is part of human nature. But we are to beware of it. Be careful. It is a part of life. It is a part of your nature because you're a sinner like I am. But beware of it. Why? It will destroy. Let me give you a couple of examples of the word beware in the Bible. We'll look at the last two times the word beware is used in your King James Bible. Look at Colossians. By the way, keep your place in Luke 12. Look at Colossians chapter number 2 and verse 8. Beware of hypocrisy. Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians 2, look at verse number 8. Here's one of the last times it's used in the Bible. Beware, lest any man spoil you. That means take what is yours and take it to themselves. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware. Why? Because someone can be used of Satan to spoil you, take from you something that belongs to you. And this is talking about just not resting in Christ. Look at the next time, and by the way, this will be the last time that it's used. 2 Peter chapter number 3. We were there for our scripture reading. 2 Peter chapter 3 is where we will look for the last time that it's used, verse 17. 2 Peter 3 and verse 17. We're talking about the word beware. Beware. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. That's a great verse that's applicable to what we're reading about in Luke 12, where Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware, why? Because if you're not careful, you can fall from your own steadfastness. That does not say you lose your salvation, but it does say that you can fall from your steadfastness. In other words, being in the position that you ought to be in, serving the Lord where you ought to be serving the Lord, and something can get in the way, the error of the wicked. And I would put in there that one of the errors of the wicked, according to Luke 12, is hypocrisy. Beware of it. And I hope that this morning, by the time we're all done with this message, that every one of us will go our separate ways here in a little bit, and we will be reminded to beware of hypocrisy. That it exists, and you need to be cautious of it. Now, what is hypocrisy? Well, hypocrisy is defined as the assuming of a false appearance of virtue or religion. That's one of the definitions, and the one that I believe is most applicable to Luke 12. The assuming of a false appearance of virtue or religion. And that's our nature, to be hypocrites. It's not that it's wrong to look religious. By the way, that's not bad. Not wrong to look religious. But it's wrong to assume a false appearance of virtue or religion. To try to make people think that you're something that you're not is hypocrisy. You know, we all have failures and we all make mistakes. We all ought to reach for being the best that we possibly can be with the power of the Holy Spirit and the understanding of what God's Word says we should be. But we're all going to make mistakes. But we can be honest about those mistakes. And we can remind people and let people know that, listen, I'm not perfect. I don't do everything right. But Jesus is perfect and I'm striving to be like Him. And I do want His name glorified, and I do want people to think well of Him, and that's my goal. It doesn't matter really what you think of me, unless that reflects poorly on the Lord Jesus Christ. If what I do will reflect well on the Lord Jesus Christ, then everything is good. And if we pretend anything different, that's hypocrisy. Jesus also defined it well. Turn back to Luke, and keep your place in Luke 12, but just look back a few verses into Luke chapter number 11, and verse 44, because Jesus defined this hypocrisy in the previous chapter. And really, this verse 44 of Luke 11 is the same part of, or is a part of, the same conversation that he's in Luke 12. So when he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, everybody there knew what he was talking about, because verse 44, he had just said that not that long previous to that. Verse 44 of Luke 11, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Jesus defined hypocrisy very well. It's like a grave that you walk over and don't even realize. You think, I'm just walking over regular soil, but, you know, unbeknownst to you, beneath your feet, not very deep, is a dead body. That's a little intimidating. Abigail and I watched a travel show yesterday where a person was in, I think they were in Austria, wasn't it? Weren't they in Austria, Abigail? And they have a practice in Austria, probably lots of other European countries, who knows, maybe even other places around the world. I thought this was interesting. When you are buried, your family doesn't buy a gravesite, they rent a gravesite. That's encouraging. Which means you better treat your relatives nice before you go. Because after a while, and this is what he said, after a while, they kind of forget who you are. And they go, Uncle so-and-so, who is that now? And every 10 years or so, you get a bill from the cemetery to rent it for another 10 years. And after a while, families go, why are we paying for Uncle so-and-so? I don't remember who that guy is. And, you know, Aunt Tilly's about to go, so we better free up some money for her grave. And if they stop paying, you get dug up. So they showed in this travel show a church that had this, what did they call it, Abigail? Oh, you don't remember. It was a chapel of bones. Isn't that it? Chapel of bones. All the people that had been dug up, they took their skulls. This is in Austria, by the way. They took their skulls and put them all around this room, and they had, you know, decorated the skulls and put the person's name across the top of the skull. I thought, isn't that pleasant? How did I get on that? I don't know. But it's called the Chapel of Bones. I thought, man, that's a little disturbing. Why? Because we understand that human remains, right? Bones, flesh, all the rest, are really to be buried and left alone. They're not something we want hanging around. I don't want, you know, Uncle Horatio's skull hanging around my, decorating my mantle in my home, right? We understand that that would be disgusting to us. Hypocrisy is like that, where we walk over it and we think, it's not a big deal. Look, it looks like everything's fine, just normal ground. But underneath there are dead men's bones. Underneath there's filth and rot and decay and stench. That's hypocrisy, and we need to beware of it. And friends, let me just say, as we close the first point, you and I need to beware of hypocrisy. That leads us to the second point. We need to go back to Luke 12 and ask ourselves the question, why did Jesus liken hypocrisy to leaven? Because remember, he did say that, verse 1, the end, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees. We might think of that as yeast. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Why did Jesus refer to their hypocrisy as leaven? Why? Well, it's simple, really, because leaven spreads. Look at Galatians chapter number 5. Again, you'll want to keep your place in Luke 12. But look at Galatians chapter number 5. Just a real short, simple verse in Galatians chapter 5. But this is not the only verse in the Bible that uses this terminology about leaven. Galatians 5 and verse 8. We'll start with verse 8. Well, and actually verse 7. Because verse 7 will give us a little bit of an understanding of the context of why verse 9 says what it says. Galatians 5 verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. In other words, it's not from God. Verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. When you go to make bread, ladies, which seems to be a lost art these days, but I know my mother and my grandmother used to make it all the time. I know some of you ladies do make it on a regular basis. In fact, some of you make it all the time. You know this, in order to make a loaf of bread, you don't add a lot of yeast. In fact, if you play your cards right, probably not a good terminology for a message, but if you play it right, you can actually use a little yeast, and if you leave a little bit of the dough in the right circumstances, that dough will continue to provide active cultures for you. Just take a little bit of that and knead that into a new bit of dough, and it will leaven that new dough, and you let it grow and multiply, and next time, that's how they make sourdough bread. Next time, you take a little bit of that starter, And you put it in there again, add a little bit of flour, and the yeast will continue to chew on that flour and the gluten that's in there and all that good stuff. And you, that little bit of leaven that you started with can go, listen, into infinity as long as you just keep adding a little bit of flour. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Why did Jesus use leaven to be that which was an illustration of hypocrisy? Because it spreads. Hypocrisy spreads. Don't let it get into your life. Beware of it. Now listen, it's a part of your nature. You're a hypocrite like I'm a hypocrite by nature. But beware of it. Why? Because it will spread. And here's where it will spread. Number one, it will spread to your children. Parents, if you are a hypocrite, your children know. By the way, we all struggle with that. We're all hypocritical in a lot of ways. And our children know. Here's the problem with that. Not just that they would lose respect for us, that's bad enough, but it will spread to them. And they'll learn that it's more important what people think about us than what the real truth is. It's really important that people think we're good. Doesn't really matter if we're good. Really, it is important that people think we love God. Whether or not we really do doesn't exactly matter. Hypocrisy spreads. We must be careful of it. It will spread in our family. Secondly, it will spread in a church. It will spread in a church. Some churches, and we all struggle with this to some extent. Every church does. Every church has standards. Some lower, some higher, but every church has standards. And the tendency is for us to think that if I meet the standard, then everything is okay. That's hypocrisy. If I can make people think that I am in agreement with them on this standard or that standard, and by the way, every church has a few different standards, but if I can make everyone think I meet that standard, then I'm okay. That's hypocrisy, and it spreads throughout a church. And of course, then thirdly, it would spread throughout a country, right? A culture. He used it because it spreads. Let me give you a second reason why Jesus likened hypocrisy to leaven. Because it not only spreads, it inflates. That's what leaven does. The way yeast works is the yeast are actually live bacteria, okay? And they begin to eat the sugars and things like that that are naturally found in the flour. And as they begin to eat those, then they let off gas from the processing, the metabolizing of that, those sugars. And that gas causes the bread to have little holes inside of it that make it fluffy and airy. That's why it's important to knead bread before you let it rise. Why? Because that gets the gluten working so that when the gas is released, the dough can spread rather than just breaking. Friends, Jesus likened hypocrisy to leaven because it inflates. It'll fill us with pride. Cause us to feel like, you know, I'm doing real well. Look at, I'm meeting the standard. Everyone thinks good of me. Look, I'm like those Pharisees. Everybody looked at them and said, wow, they know God. How do I know that they know God? Because just look at them. Look at their life. Look at all the things that they do. They meet all those standards that we as human beings have artificially placed on people. And look at that. They've done the outward things. They must have it all together. And the Pharisees said, yeah, we do. And they were even prideful of their humility. And sometimes we are the same way, aren't we? Sometimes we get inflated with this idea that, you know what, we're pretty good. We're a lot better, especially than the lost. Oh man, the lost are really bad. And I'm way better than they are. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. It spreads, it inflates. Thirdly, it also affects the taste, smell, and texture. You know that leaven or yeast affects the taste of bread. One of the reasons that sourdough is, by the way, the best bread is because all of that yeast that's been allowed to live for a long time in that starter, it just begins to develop more and more flavor. The longer it goes, the more it imparts flavor to the dough, and a good flavor. And if you've ever had a regular biscuit that doesn't really have any leavening other than maybe baking powder or something like that in it, and then, you know, homemade bread, there's a big difference. There's a big difference in the taste, and I would think most people would probably agree the taste of homemade bread's a lot better than even homemade biscuits, and I love homemade biscuits. But why? The yeast. Not only does it affect the taste, listen, it affects the smell. You can smell yeast. One of the things I remember from my childhood with my mother making bread is I'd come home and I could smell the homemade bread that she made, and there's nothing better than that to a little boy coming home hungry. That's good. In fact, I wish Mom were still around and she could do that for me today, because I would enjoy it. Listen, it affects the smell. It makes it enjoyable. It affects the taste. Listen, it affects the texture. One of the things that makes bread so good is when it's leavened. There's a texture difference to it. It's enjoyable. It works with the gluten, and it also makes the bread fluffy and airy. It affects the texture. All of those in a pleasant way. Now, you say, now, wait a minute, Pastor. You're saying that the leaven makes things more enjoyable in the taste, the smell, and the texture, but Jesus said that the leaven of the Pharisees was hypocrisy, and isn't that a negative thing? Yes. I present it to you this way, that you see, if you're a hypocrite, your life and the things of life will look great, and it'll have this taste in life that it's good, because pride makes you feel good. And a life that's humble and honest and open, not nearly as enjoyable as a life where I can play the game and I make everyone think I'm better than I really am. There's a smell involved, and people look at my life when I'm a hypocrite and they say, oh, wow, he's got it together. I wish I could be like that, and I can just kind of sit there and enjoy that. It affects the texture of life and the way things go, and sometimes it smooths out life for me a little bit more because I can ride the wave of that high opinion that other people have of me, and it affects it in a good way. But friends, the truth of the matter is, the breads of life that don't have the yeast or the leaven of hypocrisy maybe are a little more flat. They're a little more simple, aren't they? But what did God say about the type of life that we are to seek after? Turn with me to Jeremiah 6. Keep your place in Luke 12. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter number 6. Because yeast or hypocrisy will make your life more alive. And without it, life gets kind of flat, because you know what? You just have to be honest with people and you have to let them know the truth. And people won't think as much of you. But what does the Bible say? Jeremiah chapter number 6. And look with me at verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find, notice, ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Ye shall find rest for your souls. You know, the life without leaven, the life without hypocrisy is much more flat. Nobody really craves that kind of life of just humility and honesty. Nobody really craves that while looking at your life. They'll say, oh, wow, you know, they're not much. But there's rest in that. That's what God wants us to seek for. Just be open, plain, honest, the old ways. That doesn't mean just if anything's new, it's wrong. It means it matches up with God's book. Living life according to God's word, the honesty, the truth. Speaking the truth in love and being genuine and real, walking according to God's law. When you make a mistake, be honest and open about it. When you do wrong in front of your children, even mention that to them and say, kids, look, I did this. This was wrong. Forgive me. Don't follow me in that pattern. Listen, it may feel humbling to do that. And it may make life more dull and flat. But it'll also be rest. And that will cause your children, by the way, to crave the life that you have. You know, one of the things that's been funny about my life, now I'm not old, all right? My wife likes to think we're old, but we're not. I got siblings that are older than I am, so I will always feel young. Now they are old, but I'm not. It doesn't matter how old I get, they'll always be older. But listen, one of the things, all joking aside, One of the things that is funny about my life, my wife laughs about this because my wife likes to try new recipes and always do new things in the kitchen and all that kind of stuff. She's always getting new cookbooks from the library and looking online and watching cooking shows and all this, and I appreciate that. But more and more, as I get to not quite old, middle age, okay? Young middle age, by the way. As I get to that point in my life, you know what I tell her that I want? Listen, just make simple food. More and more, I want simple food. The other day I told her, I said, listen, just make, this is good. Just make beans and cornbread. That's what I want. I want pinto beans and cornbread. That's good stuff. By the way, we had some maple syrup from Rick Lashey, which goes real good over that cornbread. That's good stuff. You could not get me to choose a meal at, what's that place you like to go to, Dexter, that... No, I'm teasing you. Jeff Davis and he always go back on restaurant choices. I tease Dexter about that. But listen, you couldn't pay me to go to a fancy restaurant and get some little plate with a bite of something that was, I don't know, cooked in liquid nitrogen or something like that. I'll take the beans and cornbread anytime. Now listen, why are we that way? We joke about it and all that kind of stuff, right? But why? Well, because the truth of the matter is, isn't it true just in life that sometimes those simple things are the best? Now, life is that way in just being real, not having to put on a facade, not worrying about what people think of you. Now listen, it's not that we just live however we want. No, I'm just a rebel and I'm going to live how I want. It doesn't matter what you think of me, pastor said so. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying following God's word, living a holy life. We know what God expects of us. It's clear in His law. We know what He wants. Do our best to please Him and live for Him and be a soul winner and, you know, dress right and be in church and tithe and all those things that we know we ought to do. Do those. But don't try to put on a show. Don't try to be more than you are. And there's a rest in that. It's kind of flat, but there's a rest in that. There's a peace. That's why Jesus likened hypocrisy to leaven. It spreads, it puffs up. Oh, it adds flavor to life. But friends, really, it's not the simple life. Look back with me at Luke chapter number 12, and let's ask the third question. What was the reason to beware? We learned that we were to beware, which means it indicates a danger. To beware of hypocrisy, that means assuming a false appearance of virtue or religion. We learned that it's like leaven. Now, verse number 2. After Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, He gives the reason why. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Here's why you and I should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Because there is an impending revelation. There is an impending revelation. And I don't mean the book of Revelation, although we learn about it in the book of Revelation. But I mean everything will be revealed. So the hypocrisy that we put on right here, the outward external false impression and facade of virtue and religion, there's coming a day when it's all going to be torn away. All of us will be revealed. The truth of who you are and the truth of who I am is going to be revealed. So why play the game? There is an impending revelation, and Jesus said, beware of that leaven of the Pharisees. Why? Because judgment is coming, and at the judgment time, it's all going to be revealed anyway. So you might as well live open and honest with it now. And by the way, the truth of the matter is, the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, if we will judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. So if we'll be open and honest with God and where it is appropriate, open and honest with people around us, then God will give us grace and mercy and cover those things. And I believe that He'll say, what are you talking about? I don't see any failures there. Why? Because we confessed that before Him. We got rid of it. We dealt with it. If we would judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. But so many of us are full of hypocrisy and we don't want to judge ourselves because somebody might know the truth. Well, okay. Then if you won't judge yourself here, you'll be judged later. I'd rather judge it now and later on be able to enjoy what God will give in heaven. So listen, there is an impending judgment. Let's look at a couple of passages of Scripture. We'll close with these. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. These are verses that you'll be fairly familiar with, but it's good for us to remind ourselves of these. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14, the last verse of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12. And we should start with verse 13, where it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Listen, it's going to be brought into light. So you might as well do right here and just be honest, because there's an impending judgment, an impending revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 and 12, the last verses we'll look at for the message. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11, here's what the Bible tells us. "And I saw a great white throne." Revelation 20, 11. "I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books." Notice, according to their works. What are the books all about? Our works. And God's going to judge according to that. And by the way, it says the dead, both small and great. That means this. That means the little old lady that lives in your neighborhood all alone and nobody really knows who she is, and she doesn't really have any influence in society, and she's just kind of a, you know, somebody that nobody really pays any attention to, she's going to give an account. The books will be opened. That means her, that means all the way up to the President of the United States, both small and great. You know, someday, Mr. Biden is going to stand before the Lord. You know, someday, Mr. Trump is going to stand before the Lord. Someday, George Washington will stand before the Lord, and the books will be opened. And they will all, and by the way, so will everyone else, be judged according to their works, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And that means you can put your name in there. You'll be judged according to your works. Now, the important judgment, part of it is our works. There's another book that's in that judgment that's really important, and that's the book of life. The Bible tells us that that book is opened, and whether it's the angels or God Himself, whatever, someone's going to look in those in that book and look for your name. And whether or not you are allowed to enter into heaven or whether you're cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity will be based on whether your name is in the book of life. Can I ask you this? Is your name written in the book of life? Those of you watching via live stream, is your name written in the book of life? There's one way to get your name in. And that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God's Son who came and lived a perfect sinless life. He was crucified and slain for our sins. God placed our sins upon Him, and He suffered in our place. Then He was buried, and He rose again 3 days later. And after that, He ascended into heaven. He's right now seated at the right hand of God. He lives, and if you will call on His name, He will forgive you of your sin and save you. And He'll write your name, and by the way, He'll, more than just write your name, He'll seal your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name in the Book of Life? That's the important thing. But can I also say, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware. It's in you, and it's in me. Beware. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd work through this invitation. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that does not have their name written in the book of life, they're not saved, they're not born again, then Lord, I pray that You would convict them of that today. And I ask You, please, don't let them leave this building without getting that taken care of. Lord, those who are watching via live stream, the same type of thing for them, Lord, that you'd burden them greatly, that they would recognize that death is certain and the judgment is certain. That day when that book is opened is real. And that the only escape they have is through Christ. Lord, I pray that you would grant them faith and repentance to believe the gospel. Now, Lord, would you also show us in our lives where there's any hypocrisy? Remind us of our need to beware in this area. Bless now the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.